From beanies to carry bags and from shoes to caps, browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Speaking on the issues that impact, this is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
Welcome back. Look, we're in the second hour of this live broadcast. TFI Fridays. Thank you for joining us. Hello to everybody in the TNT chat room. It's getting a little bit vibrant there, getting a little bit raucous as well. I see a few of our old friends in there. Hello, everybody. Deep Fried Fred. Some familiar faces in there. Some Skippy. Hello, Skippy. And Emperor Ming. I love that name, Emperor Ming. Like Ming the Merciless in Flash Gordon. That's the sort of connotations that go in my mind when I see a name like that. Hello, Mazzy, Holly. Some familiar faces in there. Some holdovers from the Sunday Wire crew as well. Wow, you guys are busy. Look at all this activity. And links too. So get in the TNT chat room, folks, and share your information. There's a lot of good networking and a lot of good information going on there. A little bit of fun and games as well, which we welcome. And we're joined by Christian's holding over in the second hour for us because we only got a chance to scratch the surface of this trans terror story. Now, me saying trans terror is getting a lot of pushback, not from me, particularly not because a lot of people are saying it, but the sort of activists, the pro-trans, the LGBTQRASYV12624 lobby is basically saying, no, this is not good because, you know, this is marginalizing trans people because of this mass shooting. Now, look, if somebody goes and does a so-called mass shooting and then puts a manifesto up, now listen, I'm very skeptical that this is all above board, okay? Let me just put that out there as a caveat. It's all a little bit too convenient how this thing is so well, the theatrics on this, the manifesto, the timing. I got questions about it. Let's just say, for argument's sake, it's above board. In other words, it's as the official story says it is. So if somebody goes and does something and basically is doing it because they want political recognition, because, you know, if you're trans, if you're a trans man, in other words, a woman who believes they're a man, or if you're a trans woman, i.e. a man who pretends and thinks they're a woman, if you fall into one of those categories and you need to be seen, quote, seen, recognized, and to do that, you have to go out and kill people or shoot up a school or a church, then that's political. That means that you're a terrorist. That means that's a terrorist attack. Just, it's a perfect definition of terrorism. It's not like you're like, you know, oppressed, poor from some tribe that's genocide going on because of your ethnicity. It's more spurious than that. This is actually pure terrorism. Beautiful definition of terrorism. It fits perfectly like a glove. So that said, I've got Christian on the line. He's our research assistant for the show. So Christian, the reactions to this have been very interesting. Would you not agree?
Very much so. There is a definite divide. So again, I take Twitter as my example because that's what I'm looking at right now. There's a definite divide between those who are watching this particular news story break. There are certainly those who are saying, hey, now they feel that they're going to be marginalized, they're going to be put down. I've even seen the word transgenocide currently trending at the present time as well, that they now feel that the whole world is going to go against all the trans people because of this terrible case. But we now have basically a lone shooter who was a young man who became a female called Audrey Hale, who obviously went to a Christian school where I think she was formerly a
student.
Wait,
hold on. I'm going to stop you there. It's a female who tried to become a male.
Okay, you're my mistake. You're right. Yeah. Audrey became Aiden.
I'm as confused as you are, Christian, on this. I really don't know whether we're coming or going on this.
Audrey became Aiden.
Aiden. That's it.
That's right. That was his profile in LinkedIn. So, obviously went into a school, a Christian school, and obviously killed as 3 adults and 3 9-year-old children as part of a revenge attack. Didn't feel that they were fixed in. They apparently sent messages to a friend saying something bad was going to happen today. There clearly was a terrible intent towards this, and they also wanted to die. So they wanted to become a standout for their community, that they were convinced in their beliefs that trans people are not getting any of the recognition they deserve, despite the fact they clearly have overrepresentation in the media right now. This person felt the need to have to go and do this, and that's terrible that anyone has to feel that way. But what the defining note is that there are those who say shooters are bad, and that's terrible, and they've killed lots of children. And the other side is, well, he's trans, so it's sort of okay. We shouldn't make him feel bad, and we shouldn't be saying these things about him. I found a tweet here from a person saying that their Twitter handle is TERFs, is RIP Aiden, I wish you'd have killed more bigots. So they were actually saying that they wished that they had actually killed more people. Wow. Terrible.
Wow. Okay. That's interesting. So why, and still there's no idea on the motive. Why would you go to, you know, target kids if you're 28 years old? Like, you went to school there 18 years ago. Now, there were accusations on the Columbine, that famous mass shooting in the school in Colorado in the late 90s, that these children were abuse victims, and they were trying to draw the police, members of the police who might have been their abusers or somebody, or rather. So they did it with a specific motive in mind, in order to create a situation. Now, we don't know whether that's the case. It's hard to tell. This one just seems so unlikely, Christian, that someone would have this tag team training here, like full Rambo camo, walking through like they've been coached, like they've had military training. It just doesn't make any sense. I know she's taking hormones, Aubrey Hale, or whatever her name is, and that would make you more masculine, testosterone supplements and whatnot. But it's the whole thing is just hard to swallow and hard to believe. And when you add up the legislation that you mentioned and the guns, exactly the same guns as in the legislation happening now, today, and then canceled, I don't know.
That's the part that makes you go, why did this happen the day before? And that is a recurrent theme that pops up over the years, doesn't it? Every time there's like pro-gun legislation, there appears to always be a tragedy that befalls it, so therefore it gets knocked further down the line. I can't help but think there might have been a reason for that. This person might have been coached, might have been told to do something, might have been kind of steered in a certain direction. We don't know that. I guess we might know that eventually.
Could be. Now, that is a plausible conspiracy theory, because it doesn't nullify the event happening, so it doesn't fall into the Alex Jones danger zone of denying the mass shooting. So you could say, yes, it happened, but was this person handled or directed by certain actors? Who knows? Could be connected with government agencies. It's not the first time that's happened. It wouldn't be the first time, but that's a bridge too far generally for the media. They don't mind reporting on that sort of stuff like 10 or 20 years after the fact, but never like right after. It's just it's too much.
Yeah. So I see here there's a Republican representative called Andy Ogles from Tennessee. He's criticizing a far left transgender group online that is saying that he is a martyr for people who are transgender. The Trans Resistant Network are calling up to say that we should not hold him in any perpetuity because he's a terrorist, but because he's transgender, he should be kind of lighter on him. Stop calling him a terrorist and stop being nasty to him. And it's like, well, no, he's still a trans terrorist. He happens to be trans, but he's a terrorist in that sense.
That's good. And I respect the fact that you are gendering this person with their preferred pronouns, and that's cool, because I'm calling her a she, and you're using he, they. That way, Christian, we're fully covered on this show. We've covered.
You have to have the spectrum.
We have the full spectrum. We've covered all the bases, so nobody can say anything. And that's because we have a gentleman's agreement that we're going to do it like that, and we're covered. Okay, so enough with the lobby. you guys got nothing here. Now, before we go to break, what are some of the other, you flagged up a couple of other interesting aspects on this.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I wonder where the Christian side comes into this, because I guess the Christians are the ones who are resistant right now. So particularly those who are religiously orientated don't want to see trans happen across the United States. There's certainly a massive pushback about that. And I wonder whether they are targeting the Christian school because of that legislation. They are anti-trans in that respect. So I wonder what the religious side of that is. Maybe they had a religious upbringing and therefore they are resistant to that, and that made them go the way they did. Again, we see this whole thing where there's people are now saying they wanted, why didn't they kill more people? Which is terrible to see. There's lots of sharing of that particular phrase on Twitter.
That's disturbing.
Very.
Why? Yeah. Why the church? There's some people are calling this a satanic agenda. Now, I don't think that's a stretch. I think that needs to be entertained, and anybody who is religious who does view things in that way. Or to me, that's a perfectly legitimate way to express your thoughts and feelings on something like this. That, yeah, I would say for sure it qualifies under a satanic agenda. It's your prerogative, whoever you are, whether you want to frame it in that way. But I think that's a perfectly legitimate way to express one's feelings on an event like this, because you could say it's evil. There's a lot of evil aspects to it, but then people are reticent to say, well, you know, transgender, you know, surgery or lifestyles or whatever, to call that evil, is that a bridge too far? But think about this for a minute. A conservative state like Tennessee, that's part of the Bible Belt, okay? It's very long, steeped in Christian history, evangelical Christian history. I just went to Nashville recently, and, you know, the whole Grand Old Opry, so it all sprouts out of the church, gospel music and things like this. So it's really important. So the state there has passed this, you know, no surgery, no gender affirming surgery, and all of a sudden, you know, this happens. Or they banned it for children, and then this happens. So that to me is like, this is like kind of terrorism in a way.
It is. The other aspect I thought was rather interesting is that we have a lone extremist, potentially a trans individual, who's a liberal Democrat, who's now killed more people than anybody who died at January 6th.
That's true. That's true. And died at Charlottesville.
Does this mean that trans terrorists are now going to be a focus point for the FBI?
Should they start arresting all trans people on suspicion of being trans? Maybe the FBI can open up a new file and spend more resources. Good question, Christian. I'm not holding my breath, though. I don't think so. But the militant aspect of this is nothing to joke about, because Antifa has a sort of very distinct violent profile in what they're talking about publicly on social media, as you mentioned, and all the rhetoric around this is particularly vicious in one direction. I don't see on the conservative side, they're not as vicious, although they're calling this terrorism. The sort of radical progressive left identity politics crowd, they're pushing back and basically on the offensive, basically. So, I mean, I think we're heading towards eventually some kind of a culture war. I think it's begun already. I think this could manifest itself in unpleasant ways.
I think that just looking at TikTok right now, there's a lot of trans terrorists, should we say, showing off their guns. And I thought liberals hated guns. People who are transsexual, transgender, who've obviously made that transition, they're all posing with their guns and stuff. So there might actually be an action where they get called out and start doing crazy stuff, because they certainly are not on the stable line as it is.
People are going to be begging for a Mussolini, Christian. And when it comes, it's going to be absolutely horrific. I say, if I was president, I would say, if there's any militant trans posing with guns on TikTok, I would say, great, but we're going to draft you to fight in Ukraine. How about that? We'll start the draft, and anybody who's got a Ukraine flag on their profile in America, we're going to draft you and send you off to fight in Ukraine. How about that? So that way, hey, walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk or talk the TikTok. As you might say, when the TikTok ban comes, boy, that's going to be a lot of unhappy people, I'll tell you right now. But Christian, thank you very much for staying over. This is a wild and difficult and complicated topic, and I think it helps to talk about it. There's it's weird. It's weird. It's crazy. It's scary. And and we need to talk more about it and try to figure out what's going on here. But we appreciate your joining us this week on TNT.
No problem. Thank you very much.
There he goes, ladies and gentlemen. That's Christian. And just a shout to studio, if possible. We're going to go to a hard break right here, and we'll come back and get into the Julian Assange story briefly before we go to New York and D.C. for our legal correspondent, Matt Lee. I'm Patrick Hennington, your host. This is TNT, Today's News Talk. We'll be right back.
State of the Nation on Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Parents' Bill of Rights wins zero votes from Dems, who attack it as fascism, extreme attack on schools. Our House Speaker McCarthy rips extreme minority party after no Dems support Parents' Bill of Rights. Now listen, parents have rights, their children, parental autonomy. This is just another example. We pay taxes. We do not want to co-parent with the education system. We are in control. Parents are angry. Parents are unhappy. I just gave a workshop two nights ago. The room was overflowing. The parents want answers. The parents want help. They want to do this alone. They don't want the interference. They want their kids reading, writing, and arithmetic. And we know the Dems always go straight to, you're a racist, or, you're a fascist, you're a white supremacist. That's what they do. It's ridiculous. And I am so happy to see parents and caregivers stepping up, reclaiming their children, demanding answers, and they have every right to know what the curriculum is, the books being used. It's a no-brainer. So I say good for all the parents, good for everybody starting to make some noise and demanding answers.
State of the Nation on Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective, to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
Patrick Henningsen and TNT.
All right, folks. All right, listen. We'll be in the final stretch in a moment here, hour number two. And we're streaming out live globally, and wherever you are in the world, we really appreciate your listenership. Lunchtime shift, East Coast checking in. You guys are clocking in. Hello to everybody in the TNT chat room, animated as usual. There's a few celebrities in the chat room today. Is that Ruckus, as in the Ruckus? He says, I would just like to repeat, I do not accept this clown show world as reality. I think that's Ruckus. That's the Ruckus, I can tell. Nobody else would write a comment like that other than Ruckus. Speaking the truth, Christian's in there as well. Jumped off the line into the chat room, dropping truth bombs all over the place. Thank you guys for keeping it lively in there. Now, on the Julian Assange front, I mentioned this before. I think there's some significant developments here. Now, as we know, Julian Assange is still on remand in the maximum security Belmarsh prison in the UK, Southeast London, Woolwich. And the US Justice Department has requested, they want to extradite him on trumped up charges. And as I said on social media, trumped up charges that would make the NKVD and the Stasi blush. He is a political prisoner by definition. There's no debate about that. And according to the extradition treaty between the UK and United States, it absolutely prohibits the extradition of political prisoners. And now, after today, and the news I'm going to unveil to you now, breaking story, there is no debate whether Julian Assange is a political prisoner or not. It's over. The debate's over. And so I predict that the charges against Julian Assange will be dropped, and they will be dropped very soon. I predict. That's a hopeful prediction. I hope I'm right. I'm just putting it out there because there is no way, there is no way that either Britain or the U.S., after today's news, can make the claim that Julian Assange is not a political prisoner. And if he's a political prisoner, then he cannot be extradited according to the extradition treaty between the United States and Britain, period. End of story. And Joe Biden, the octogenarian animatronic hologram, is due to visit Australia in May, and Anthony Albanese. And so we are asking Aussies to get organized and, you know, let your opinion be known. Let's just leave it there. And we hope they do. So the Australian Foreign Minister, Penny Wong, who is she's not very useful on this issue. She's saying she wants to, quote, dampen expectations about a breakthrough in the Julian Assange case. So this is coming out in The Guardian. The Australian FM is putting this sort of stuff out, this propaganda, in The Guardian and the mainstream media. At the same time, in the U.S., the Squad, who I'm very critical of the Democrats, especially the Progressive Alliance, but the Squad is leading the charge to get Assange, to get the extradition charges dropped. And this is good. Rashida Tlaib, AOC, Ilhan Omar, plus the proper conservatives like Matt Gaetz, I would hope that he would weigh in on this as well, as would Marjorie Taylor Greene and some of the good conservatives, to create the same coalition that tried to get the U.S. troops out of Syria just last month, okay? So they're collecting signatures now. Thank you, Rashida Tlaib. Like I said, if I agree with somebody, I'm going to compliment them. If I don't, I'm going to criticize them. On this, the progressives, I am complimenting them and encouraging them to keep going hard. They want to put pressure on Merrick Garland to end the extradition drive against WikiLeaks' Julian Assange. Ladies and gentlemen, that is going to come closer to reality than you can possibly imagine, because a story is breaking now, and it's this. Game changer. Spanish company UC Global proof now admitted provided CIA with information leading to Assange's arrest. How did this all go down? Well, the emails from the owner of UC Global, these are now able to be read, David Morales, director and owner of UC Global, who involved in this scandal. He sold the data about WikiLeaks, the founder's legal defense strategy, to a, quote, intelligence agency in the U.S. Who else could that be but the CIA? The U.S. government then quickly sent a warrant to the U.K. to foil the activist's escape plan. So this would have been about, as far as I can see, late 2016. I think. So according to this timeline, late 2016, and the Ecuador's president, Lenin Moreno, at the time, had ordered his staff to work with Assange's Spanish lawyers to develop a plan to get Assange out of the embassy in London, grant him Ecuadorian nationality, which he had gotten, and then provide a diplomatic passport. The plan was set weeks before Ecuadorian intelligence had Rami Vallejo's meeting and was only known to six people. Well, six people plus the CIA. When UC Global's cameras recorded the meeting attended in the embassy by Assange, his lawyer Stella Morris, now Stella Assange, his wife. She's now his wife and mother of his children. And the Ecuadorian consul, Fidel Navarez, who was also present, and then Rami Vallejo, Ecuadorian intelligence head or security head. It learned that the getaway plan would happen in 4 days. December 25th, Assange would leave in one of the ambassador's diplomatic cars and then travel through the Eurotunnel to Switzerland or another European destination where he couldn't be extradited or grabbed by the U.S. And there it is. There's the message by David Morales. It's very late. I've dropped the big file in the Dropbox, cloud storage data. See if your experts can make out the audio, et cetera, et cetera. He's talking to his CIA contact there. The result is Morales sent the data from UC Global, it's a private security firm, sent to CIA in the early morning hours to his, quote, American friends, and the impact was immediate. The United States quickly sent an arrest warrant for Assange to the United Kingdom, and so the escape plan had to be aborted. 2 years later, after waiting it out, UK police basically just went into the Ecuadorian embassy and then abducted Assange. Extraordinary rendition, by definition, period, end of. So here we have the CIA spying on his legal team, and that's a political issue. This is what it's about. So no rights, even in the Ecuadorian embassy. There you go, folks. Political prisoner. Well, we know he's a political prisoner, but here's further proof. Political prisoner, therefore cannot be extradited. End of story. Case closed. It was case closed before. Now it's case really closed. So I predict this Democrat progressive alliance coalition effort. We need some conservatives on board. Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz and co. Get on board. Get these signatures. So whoever gets this issue first gets to boast about their human rights and constitutional bona fides in the 2024 election. So Democrats or Republicans, jump on it. If Trump was smart, he'd jump all over this. Make an announcement. You will pardon Assange. That'll put pressure on Biden. That is if Trump wants to do that. We'll see. We'll see. So there it is, folks. There it is, folks. And isn't this a great prelude to the protest on April 11th in front of the Department of Justice in Washington, D.C. In support of Julian Assange to drop the charges. Isn't this all a great prelude? You see, it's all coming together. This is serendipity. The planets are aligning. Julian Assange is going to be free. I'm telling you right now, it's just a question of time. So let's all hope and pray and do a little bit more if you can. Make your voice known. Make your voice heard. Let's take a break real quick and connect our legal correspondent down on the ground to find out what's going on with this Trump indictment. Matthew Lee certainly knows. We'll find out more in just a few minutes. I'm Patrick Henningsen. We'll be right back after these messages.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
The last 9 years have been the hottest on record. That's simply an indisputable fact, underscoring the need for bold action to protect our planet, said Administrator Bill Nelson, who is running NASA. Now, let me pick that apart a little bit. The last 9 years have had the highest temperatures that we've ever recorded. It has not been hot on planet Earth. Let me ask you a question. If the ocean temperature is 58 and it rises to 59, do you think that that water is hot? And that's what they do. They use the term hot. The lion's share of the warming has occurred in the coldest, driest areas where it is still frigid. But they love to use that terminology. NASA's climate strategy is a declaration of our continued commitment to lead on climate and how we intend to do so. Well, the first thing you do is advise your president to try to clamp down on China and their 2 coal plants a week, if you really believe that CO2 is the culprit. Yeah, I can't get off that whole situation with that graphic showing that the United States is leading the way in stopping carbon emissions, whether you want to believe that CO2 is responsible or not. This is TNT Climate and Weather Watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
Do citizens make decisions based on evidence and reason? Or are they manipulated by behavioral economists applying nudge theory? In 1992, the Rockefeller-controlled Russell Sage Foundation launched the Behavioral Economics Roundtable. In 2008, two members of the roundtable, Cass Sustain and Richard Thaler, co-authored the book Nudge, which led to widespread government adoption of nudge theory through the Behavioral Insights Team. Also known as the Nudge Unit, launched in the United Kingdom, the Behavioral Insights Team now has offices worldwide, including in Canada, Latin America, the United States, Australia, New Zealand, and Singapore. The Nudge Unit boasts to have trained 20,000 civil servants and practitioners in behavioral insights. Supported by taxpayer funding, subtle messaging techniques nudge populations to normalize behaviors and attitudes deemed appropriate by nameless, faceless bureaucrats. The Nudge Unit plays on people's fears and guilt. It promises rewards for compliance in its projects, such as boosting vaccination rates and reducing energy consumption.
This is the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back, folks. Final stretch of the final hour here, hour number two of the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT, today's news talk. We're having some problems getting Matt Lee on the line. We might have crossed our signals on this. He's apparently moving between D.C. and New York. We will continue to try to get him. If in the event that we don't, we might not. He was actually available a little bit earlier, but we weren't able to see that message because we were deep into the throes of the trans terror story with Christian in the previous segment. But nonetheless, I shall plow ahead. Trump's indictment. What does it mean? What's it all about? I'm sure you want to know. Well, it turns out that this is to me, in my mind, I'll tell you basically my synopsis on this. This is an act of desperation. I don't understand why they would go through with this, because this is putting Trump really as a guaranteed front runner for the Republican nomination. If the Democrats wanted to get rid of Trump, I don't understand why they've done this, because now he can just differentiate himself between the rest of the Republican field, Ron DeSantis, and, you know, his street cred's ironclad. It's ironclad right now. If he goes and gets the photograph of him doing the perp walk, this is not a federal court. This is a low Manhattan court. This is a district attorney, a political hack put in by George Soros, one of the many around the country. Soros is smart. He spreads his money around, puts in judges and DAs, because that's what makes a difference. And you can prosecute and arrest people on political charges. Soros is no fool. That's how communists and the new left-wing fascists can keep and maintain power, is by weaponizing and politicizing the judicial branch of government and law enforcement. They've done that. So the Southern District of New York tried to make this case, political case against Trump, failed miserably. Okay. They failed, but they basically didn't have the evidence, and clearly not even a felony, basically under the heading of misdemeanor. So this thing dies. 10-year-old case, Stormy Daniels. Apparently Trump allegedly had a relationship with this porn star, a fling, supposedly. And so apparently Michael Cohen, his lawyer, convicted perjurer, did $130,000 payment to Stormy, got filed under business expenses, and they're claiming this was used as campaign expenses or deducted as campaign, whatever, misfiling. There's an NDA as well, non-disclosure agreement. And so, I mean, affidavit by Cohen, this doesn't go to Trump at all. It's a nothing burger. But they found that they could do this in a local court. And they've indicted Trump. 30 counts of business filing violations, supposedly. I mean, come on. This is like Brazilian-style lawfare. This was like Operation Car Wash, USA version, right? So this is where politics is. This is where the Biden administration is, weaponizing lower courts to go after presidents. No president, sitting or former, has ever been indicted for anything. Thank you very much. Not even Richard Nixon. Gerald Ford even pardoned to make sure that that didn't happen to Nixon, because he knew that this would just never end and it would open a Pandora's box of lawfare and politicization, which is something the United States shouldn't want and shouldn't be interested in. And so this is great for Trump. This is great for Trump. Unless the Democrats want Trump to be the nominee, because they're certain that they'll be able to defeat him in a general election. And then this is a plot to a sort of reverse 5D chess move by the DNC to kind of indirectly make sure Trump wins the field, because they want to run against Trump in the general, against Biden or whatever ghost or corpse they put up for to run. They could probably put any, they feel they could put anything up to run. It would be Trump, just because it's and never Trump. But for Trump, his base are looking at this, and now there's like, this validates everything Donald Trump said about the deep state. You have to remember, trust in government is at an all-time low. It's true. We talked about it yesterday with the polling. It's true. Trust in government, institutions, mainstream media, government agencies, the FBI, DOJ, it's all-time low. So everything they're doing to Trump validates everything he said about all these things in the last 6 years, period. So, I mean, if they've just legitimized what they are calling Trump's extremist views, and his supporters, or their conspiracy theories about a deep state, have all been validated because of this. You see how that works? So, is this just a Trump derangement syndrome fueled act of desperation by Democrats? It's hard to work this out. It's so crazy. But here's the reality. And I've spoke to a few lawyers about this. Everyone's in agreement. I had some good conversations last night on this as it was breaking. And a lot of lawyers agree that Trump could easily drag this out for a couple of years. In other words, he could end up getting the nomination, could get reelected, and this case, it won't get litigated until after his second term, you see? So the Democrats are hoping they can use this to keep him off the ballot in multiple states. And then so that would be a win. But then this is third world tin pot dictator welfare Brazilian car wash stuff. That's, I mean, obviously, with this, to keep him off the ballot, I mean, how chintzy is this? Is this where we're at? You know, I know some dodgy Central American countries that have more political honor among their ranks than the United States does at the moment. I mean, this would even be seen as bad form in Panama. What's going on in Washington? In Colombia, they're rolling their eyes in Colombia. They're rolling their eyes. They're like, God, look how backward and corrupt Washington is. They're rolling their eyes in Colombia. This would even be too much in Cartagena. That's how far the rest of the world has progressed. The United States is going backwards. It's just like, it's crazy. Unbelievable. Democrats can't see it. They're all really happy that finally Trump's going to be brought to justice. We finally found a crime to fit the man. Finally be brought to justice. So everything I said is true. Everything I said can be backed up by the facts. And so here's the reality, folks. In 2024, nobody's going to give a you-know-what's about Stormy Daniels or Trump's business filings or Trump's tax returns or whatever. It's not going to matter. What Americans care about is the economy, the Ukraine debacle, this war, this proxy war in Ukraine, the price of oil, electricity, how much it costs to heat your home, natural gas, tax reform, tax cuts. That's what Americans vote on. How's the stock market doing? Because if the stock market's doing well, then so are your 401ks. If you're retired on fixed income, mutual funds, all that's stock market indexed. That's what they care about. And if those things are not cooking and humming along, you're going to have a lot of unhappy campers in the United States of America. So Biden, the Democrats feel confident because they control the machines. I'm not talking about the Dominion machines. I'm talking about the city precincts that you need to be able to operate in order to throw a national election. As I've said on this show before, and if you listen to the show and you comprehend the things that are said on this show, you'll be a lot farther ahead than a lot of the people who are pundits, because you always hear this. You'll hear it all the time, especially from Democrats. You'll say, oh, you know, that's impossible. There are so many people that would take to, rig a national election. How could they keep everybody quiet? That's a conspiracy theory. It's impossible. It would require too many people, and everyone would need to take a secret, and someone would have talked by now. No. It doesn't take a lot of people. To rig a national election in the United States takes a surprisingly few amount of people, right from the ground level. Right from the ground level. I'll explain. Look at the last election. It was decided, the fate of the nation, the Electoral College and all the rest of it, was decided by a few swing states. You see this big popular vote margin that they claim Biden got. A lot of that, sort of padding out that massive lead is, New York and California. These are blue states, blue through and through. Don't really factor in. Winner takes all, Electoral College, all the votes. Those big blue states. So to the popular vote matters not. What matters are the swing states. And here are the swing states. Florida used to be a swing state. Not anymore. Florida is solid red Republican. Not going back for a while. That's out. But we have Georgia. We have North Carolina. We have Virginia is now a bona fide swing state. But the big ones, of course, are Pennsylvania, Michigan, Wisconsin, Nevada, Arizona. We can add it might be a couple of more marginal swing states in there, but let's just stick with those. And in reality, you only really need to pull out of those six that I mentioned, Pennsylvania, good size electoral vote chunk. Pennsylvania, let's say Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Arizona. How about that? Those three. You pull those electoral votes, you can swing. You're already, things are already swinging in your direction. Throw Wisconsin in for good measure. Now, to get those states, you only need to carry one county in each of those swing states. One county in Pennsylvania, one county in Michigan, one county in Arizona, major county. And to carry the county, you only need to have your people locked down a few precincts. So it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, to rig a national election for Joe Biden or whoever, you need a few precincts in a handful of counties in three or four swing states out of the whole totality of the United States, 50 states. You see how I boiled that down? You see how I broke it down to its parts? And so this is how you counter this argument, this bogus argument that liberals, Democrats, and crazed, mad progressives hurl at you whenever you suggest that there might be a problem with the elections in the United States. When they say it's impossible, too many people would know, you break it down. You say, no. I can rig an election from the Democrats or the machine, the Harry Reid machine, which is owned and operated elections in Nevada. Or if you want to know, the ultimate scam is to change the way people vote and go to ranked choice voting like Alaska did. So the most popular candidate ends up losing and being pushed out. The one who gets the most votes gets pushed out because of ranked choice voting. In order to get the Rhino establishment candidate in, that's what they did. And so those electoral votes, of course, will go towards the Rhino establishment deep state candidate, Murkowski, I believe her name is, in Nevada. No, Alaska, in Alaska. Nevada is bent. It's Harry Reid machine, Clark County, Vegas. Very corrupt. Maricopa County, we need not talk about it. It's now well known. It's well known. 2022 was the big reveal for the corruption in Maricopa County. Carrie Lake has won an opportunity to have her case heard in the Supreme Court of Arizona. And so there will be discovery and there will be new things known. And whatever decision is rendered in that court case in Arizona, and congratulations to Carrie Lake, and also thank you for taking it all the way. She's a fighter. See, she wants to be governor. She's got what it takes. Only a fighter would do that. She's fighting for the people. She really believes in serving her citizens of Arizona. Unlike Katie Hobbs, who didn't bother to campaign because she didn't feel as important. She said, well, I'm not going to get any new votes here. My votes are all locked in. Little did we know that she was dead serious about that statement. They were locked in, but not in a legitimate way. And this is what we're finding out with the more people look into the Arizona story. So whatever happened at the midterms in Arizona in 2022, just a few months ago, that's more or less the same fraud and rigging that happened in 2020. And I would get censored from YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, all of them for saying that, because you're not allowed to question the election results in America, in the fascist states of America. If Zuckerbucks are allowed to rule and dominate, and Silicon Valley is allowed to let government agencies in to dictate which tweets are allowed to be up or down, or which accounts are allowed to be open or closed, then we can't talk about it. We have a debate about any of this stuff, which means that criminality and organized crime, be it white collar, be it bureaucratic or whatnot, that rules the day. That rules the day. And this is why we can't allow that to happen. This is why there needs to be serious reforms as a result of the things that were revealed in the Twitter files by all the journalists who donated their time and effort to make that known to the public. So back to Trump's indictment. Back to Trump's indictment. Is it going to make a difference? Will this keep Trump out of the election? We don't think so. We think the opposite. We think that it will propel him to more popularity with his base. It reaffirms everything that Trump was saying. Chuck Schumer and everybody's having kittens. Is this a 3D, 5D chess move by the Democrats to actually help Trump get nominated? Because the Democrats are certain that they'll have an easier time defeating Trump in a 2024 race than any other more centrist candidate, like, for instance, a Ron DeSantis. That would be an incredible shrewd 5D chess move by the Dems. If they did that, I would actually be impressed, especially if it worked. So Ron DeSantis is interesting. He's come out and said he will not extradite Trump from Florida. Should the authorities in New York attempt to extradite Donald Trump from his HQ down there in Mar-a-Lago near Palm Springs in Florida, should they try to pull a maneuver like that, DeSantis will not allow the feds to extradite Trump. So this is good. That move will poll well for DeSantis with Republicans, because he will peel off. He has successfully peeled off a percentage of Trump's base who don't see Trump as a realistic option, too dramatic, too much baggage, not unelectable. So they've fled to DeSantis. So these are fair weather MAGA fans. So they don't believe in backing 45 to finish the mission that he promised he'd finish for the American people. So is Ron DeSantis the guy? I don't know. I'm not impressed. I like all the anti-woke stuff as governor of Florida. I will say great governor. President, not sure. Not sure. I think he'd be owned and operated by the usual suspects, the deep state. foreign policy wise, DeSantis sounds illiterate. Sorry, folks, I'm just being honest. He doesn't sound like he knows what he's talking about. That interview he did with Piers Morgan when he was questioned on Ukraine, it was a bit embarrassing. It's like he didn't understand Crimea or nothing. He was trying to repeat talking points and sound halfway intelligent. Now, to Trump's credit, if he doesn't know something, he's not going to try to blag it on foreign policy. He just basically sticks to his program. Peace through strength, America first. Try to make friends with some of these superpowers. Let's see if we can work together and trade with them and don't get pushed around by China. Okay, I have problems with some of the way Trump articulates some of these international relationships, but he's consistent. At least you know where he stands. Some of these other politicians, they're all over the place. They're all over the place. They're dropping caveats left, right, and center, rear guard action, trying to sort of make their, you know, customize their viewpoint to fit whatever the sort of prevailing narrative is that day of the week with the media. You know, at least with Trump, it's like a giant boulder. He's sitting in the middle of the stream, and the stream has to move around him to conform to his massive footprint. So at least, you know, there he is. It's easy to identify. That's Trump. This is what he says. So you at least know what you're getting there. He didn't start any new wars during his first term. He did continue some wars that were already going, and much to our dismay, he wasn't able to overcome the hysterical rantings of the Lindsey Grahams of the world and wasn't able to get U.S. troops out of Syria. They're still there causing trouble. That could actually lead to some kind of a problem because everyone's starting to taking shots at them right now. So I said the U.S.'s days are numbered. They just announced that a certain amount of U.S. troops had serious head injuries after being attacked by the Iranian drones or whatever. Listen, their days are numbered. They got no business there. Not legally or otherwise, no business there. Thank you, Christian, our research assistant for the show. And thank you to everybody in the TNT chat room. I see you guys. I like what you're doing there. We'll see all you guys back on Monday, same time, same place. That's 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. UK time, 12 till 2 Eastern Standard, and everything in between. Check your clocks, check your calendars. We'll be back with more. It's been an absolutely mental week. Thank you for coming along for the ride with us. We've got so much more for you. Locked, loaded, as Rick Munn would say, in the chamber, ready to go. It's going to be an information powerhouse next week. Just you wait. Patrick Henningsen, your host. This is TNT. Top of the hour news headlines coming up. I believe it's the Jesse Zurawell show after the top of the hour. So stay on the network. Stay on the app. We'll see you next time.